Good morning. Good to see everybody out. We're thankful for your presence here this morning. We hope and pray that as you leave here that you can say that it has been good to be here. Appreciate the singing that have already been done, the prayers that have been led. Appreciate Lowell leading us in our thoughts for the Lord's Supper. And we pray that everything that we say and do in this place is according to God's Word. And so we hope that you'll find that this morning. We're going to talk for just a while about changing my mind. Now, before anybody thinks anything, I haven't changed my mind. I thought about changing the lesson, honestly, but I do these about 4 weeks in advance. I have working titles about 4 weeks in advance. And so it just kind of happened to land on this, but it won't be anything about the announcement that I made last week or anything like that. But I do want to ask a question. Have you ever changed your mind? If you have, where does that come from? Where does our changing of our mind come from? You know, maybe it's that you used to like something, but now you don't. I know that there are, since the first time that I had COVID, which would have been all the way back in 2020, in November of 2020, certain things in my taste buds have changed. And so there's one thing in particular that I didn't used to like that I now can actually eat, not by itself, but if it's with something, it actually tastes good to me now. And then there's something else that I used to really like that I don't care for much anymore. And so, just interesting how, you know, those things change. Maybe you used to like something. Maybe it was a food, maybe it's a song, whatever it may be. You used to like it, but now you don't. Or you were going to do one thing, and then you changed your mind and decided to do something different. If you ever canceled plans, you wanted to go to a party, but you know you decided, well, we don't have time to do that, so we're going to cancel and we're going to stay at home and we're going to do something different. Well, our context, if you were reading along in Matthew chapter 7, tells us that we're going to know people by their fruits. We see in that the very last section, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits, by what they do. But my question is, when we change our minds, when we start to do something and then change our minds and do something else, and we do that, where do those fruits originate? Well, it's in our minds that they originate. I think Solomon understood this in his wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 23, verses 6 and 7, he says, "Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you." So it doesn't matter what the person puts in front of you. If their heart is not with you, then eventually, whatever acts that they're giving, possibly it's this man, he says, that is, you know, drawing you in with all of his food, and then at some point, that's going to get cut off. His heart is not with you. Do we know of people like that? Who maybe they're doing something, but they're doing it really for their own benefit. And that's what Solomon, don't eat the bread of a selfish man. If you realize, if you understand that this person is selfish and that they're doing this for their own desires, he says, don't even start the process with them. I realize that it's bread and you want to eat that bread, but don't even start the process with them because at some point they're going to take it away. He says his heart is not in you, for as he thinks within himself, so is he. And we'll talk about that in a little more depth a little bit later on. It's not the action, it's the thought. You say, well, this guy's giving me bread. It doesn't matter. You know, I worked as a financial advisor for a long time. You guys know that. And one person in particular, as we were going over some of his finances, I was looking and seeing how much he donated. And I said, wow, this is such a good thing for you to be donating to this cause. And he said, tax write-off. I had to get rid of it somewhere. I thought, well, that just, you know, yes, you still did it, and yes, those people are still helped, but the attitude in which you gave it, it's a tax write-off. It doesn't, you know, I had to do something. I had to give it somewhere so that I could make that tax deduction so that my income would come down and all of these things, so I wouldn't get, you know, taxed for all of this later. And thought, it's not the action, right? It's the thought. It could have been this. It could have been something else. He just needed to get rid of money, and that was his desire in getting rid of it. If his heart is not with you, then it doesn't matter what the action is. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8, and we'll read another verse from Matthew chapter 15 in just a moment, but Jesus says, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." It didn't matter what they were saying. It didn't even matter what they were doing. Their heart was far away from God. And when push came to shove, they were going to leave Jesus. They were going to leave God, as it says in Isaiah. So how do we go from one to the other? How do we get from being this person who maybe is just going through the motions? How do we get from that person to being the person who really and truly and honestly cares about what we're doing and trying to glorify God? How do we go from just honoring God with our lips to being fully in service to Him? I want to look this morning at how our minds should change when it comes to that subject. What I want us to begin with is that our thoughts determine our character. If you are following along, as Solomon says in Proverbs 23, verses 6 and 7, but in verse 7 he says, "For as he thinks within himself, so he is," or "so is he." That's who he is. How he thinks within his heart, how he thinks within his mind, that is actually who that man is. Think about that. Our thoughts determine our character. What does man think about the cause of sin and where sin comes from? I believe that man believes that sin is determined by our culture and by our circumstances. Right? Things that were once maybe frowned upon have become kind of normal to us. Think about drunkenness, drugs, homosexuality, all of those things. We frowned upon those things in the past. No, in the past they were wrong. People said they were wrong. And even, in fact, when we think about drugs and alcohol, they were illegal in the past. It wasn't just that they were frowned upon, but that's what we say. So that it softens the blow when those things become normal, doesn't it? Well, we frowned upon those things in the past. No, they were illegal. And they were always sin. But now they have become normal. And so we don't want to feel bad about ourselves. And so now that they've become normal in our society, we don't think that they're sin or sinful anymore. That's how man determines what happens or what sin is. But I want you to understand it is our thoughts, not our actions, that determine our character. Certainly there is a connection there. But as a man thinks within himself, so he is or so is he. Where does God say sin originates? Again, we're in Matthew chapter 15. If you drop down into verse 16, he picks up there. Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the thing that proceeds out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." Do you see the very simple message that Jesus is teaching? He says what you're inputting, what you're taking into your body is eventually going to come out. I'm not going to disgust you with all of the details of that, but we understand our bodies, right? What you put into your body is eventually going to come out in some way, somewhere. We get that. But what does Jesus say about that? He says, those things are going to pass through the body. That's not something that defiles you. Can it defile you? Of course it can. There are certain things that we can put into our body that defile us. Of course it can. However, his point is, It originates from here, right? It's the action that originates from our heart, from our mind, that is going to defile us. So if something is wrong that we're going to put into our body, that's something that has come internally. He says that's the issue. That's the problem. If we get our heart fixed, then we're not going to put things into our body that are going to defile us. He says eating with unwashed hands is not the problem. This is not going to defile you. So it's not simply about what is done, but what is in our heart that determines what we're going to do. You know, God's Word tells us, again, those verses that we read, that it's easy to eventually determine who these folks are. We are eventually going to show our true colors to the world. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5, he says, "The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful." The thoughts of the righteous are just. Not their actions, not simply their actions. Of course, their actions will be just and righteous as well. But he says their thoughts, even in their thoughts, they are going to be righteous. In Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4, a psalm of David here, says, "Transgression speaks to the ungodly within his heart. There is no fear of God before his eyes. For it flatters him in his own eyes concerning the discovery of his iniquity and the hatred of it. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He does not despise evil." Do we see the point that we can get to if we don't figure out what's coming from our heart and get that changed? This is what is going to determine our character. I'm sure we've probably all had thoughts that we wish we wouldn't have had, that maybe we didn't even carry out in action. But if those thoughts continue in our mind, eventually God's Word tells us they're going to come out. You can only hide those things for so long. Eventually, what is in your heart and what is in your mind is going to come out. And we need to be careful about that, especially with our children. I told you a few weeks ago in a book that is entitled Already Gone, there's some statistics shown that about 66% of the kids that grow up going to church all the time, and it doesn't matter what denomination that it is or whether it's the church, about 66% of kids leave the church when they get college age. And for so long we blame college. It was college. No, college gave the child an opportunity to do what was already in their heart. That's why the book is entitled Already Gone. They were already gone when they were in your home. They were just carrying out the actions that you wanted them to make you happy, until they got to a point where they didn't have to do that anymore. We need to be careful with our kids. We need to make sure that the right things are going in, so that the right things are in their heart, so that we don't lose 66%. That's, to me, a staggering, especially because I have six kids. That's a big percentage. And certainly would not want to lose four of my six kids to the world. Terrifies me. And it should you as well. We need to make sure that what they are getting is sound and what's coming out is sound. Because our thoughts are going to determine our character. They will show our action eventually. And that's the next point. Our thoughts will precede our action. We have a tendency to do the things that we think about the most. Look at what Paul says in Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26 and verse 9. "So then I thought to myself that I had to do many things hostile to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." This is Paul explaining what he used to do before he became a Christian. He's explaining to the higher authorities how and why he became a child of God. And notice what he says. "I thought within myself that I needed to do many things contrary to the word of Christ." So that's exactly what he did. I thought to myself, how many times has that got us in trouble? You know, I was thinking, that can get us in a lot of trouble, can't it? I know when Alana says that, she'll say, I was thinking, guess what that means? I'm going to be doing. If she was thinking about it, I'm going to be doing. It's going to come out in my actions, right? You know what I was thinking about? Do you know what I thought about? We say that a lot. Paul says that. I thought to myself, that's the exact things that we're going to be doing. When we think about those things, and we think about them constantly, that's exactly what's going to come out in our actions. Think about Simon, who we call the sorcerer in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. As he was trying to pay for the gift of the Holy Spirit, he wanted to be able to pass on the gift of the Holy Spirit to other people. That's the gift that he wanted to have. And he says, I have money. I'll pay for you to give me that gift. Notice what they said in Acts 8 and verse 22. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray to the Lord, if possible, that the intentions of your heart might be forgiven. Not just the action, not just what you did, not just, you know, offering money. But he says it goes beyond that. It's deeper than that. It is the intention of your heart. And that's where his action came from. It was the intention of his heart. This is what he desired. This is what he wanted. Not to say, you know what, Lord, whatever gift I get, if I get any, will be perfectly fine as long as I have salvation through your Son.
Well, we see where this man's actions came from, right? We see that it originated as the intent of his heart. Not necessarily just about what action came out, but the intention of his heart. There was an English philosopher from the 17th century named John Locke, and he quoted this. I have always thought the actions of men are the best interpreters of their thoughts. Isn't that something? The actions of men are the best interpreters of their thoughts. We can find out what they were thinking by what they did. And I can't remember one of the great Greek philosophers, Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, one of them, and it may have been Plato, that I think said this. But he said, you can learn more about a person in an hour of play versus a lifetime of conversation. You can learn more when someone is in play, right? Their mind kind of takes over. It shuts off from stopping them from doing certain things. You can see the intention of their heart come out when they're on an athletic field. Right? When they're at play, when they're trying to win, when competition gets a hold of them, you'll see whether or not they're willing to cheat. You'll see whether or not they're willing to lie to win. He says you'll learn more about them in that hour of play than you will in a lifetime of conversation, because they're especially, their thoughts are going to come out in their actions. That's why I believe Jesus warns us in Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. Beware of the false prophets. They are going to come to you in sheep's clothing. They are going to look like, they are going to act like they are someone who is friendly. But he says inwardly they are ravenous wolves, and you'll figure them out. You'll know them by their fruits, by what they do. John's testimony bears this out. It's interesting that we talk about John all the time. The Gospel of John, the letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, are all about love. There's so much about love in these books or in these letters. But he also talks about the opposite of that. He talks about hatred in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 11. But the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. He says hatred is going to blind your path. But notice what he also says about it in 1 John chapter 3. If you just go one chapter further. Notice this statement. We know that hatred blinds us and it darkens our path. He says, everyone who hates his brother is a, not hater. Oh, you're just a hater. No, he says, everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. You don't actually have to commit the act of murder to be considered a murderer by God. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. He equates hatred with murder. Why? Because that's where it begins. It begins in our heart. It begins in our mind. And at some point, all we're doing is waiting for the opportunity. If we had that much hatred in our heart and we knew that we could get away with it, that we wouldn't get in trouble, he's saying, they're going to act on it. They're going to do it because of that. So how do we change our mind? How do we correct our thoughts? What does Jeremiah tell Israel in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 14? He tells them, wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem. Not just the actions. He says, wash your heart from evil, O Jerusalem, that you may be saved. How long will your wicked thoughts lodge within you? How long are those thoughts going to be lodged in your mind? Why can't we get those thoughts out of there? Wash your heart, your mind, from evil. Well, to do that, we have to make a determination in our own minds. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established. Can we make a true commitment to God? Truly commit to Him. Not just half-heartedly, not just in a few of our actions, but wholeheartedly commit our lives to God. There are so many people, even people professing to be Christians, who have accepted Christ, but have not clothed themselves with Christ, have not completely put Him on. And so oftentimes, it's those who we have to worry about who are falling away. We need to make a true commitment. And while it is true that our thoughts lead us into action, certainly our actions can help pull our thoughts in the right direction as well. For example, someone who is depressed is often told to go out and do something fun. Go do something cheerful. Go do something enjoyable. And get your mind, get your thoughts headed in the right direction. Go have some fun. If you're depressed, don't just lay in bed all day. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But what doctors will tell you is get up, get out of bed, and go do something that you enjoy doing and start getting your mind headed in the right direction. Don't just rely on the medicines that come. And I know that in some ways and it's important and it's necessary for some, but don't just wait on the medicine to kick in. To go do something fun that you know that you enjoy, that's enjoyable to you, and it will get your mind headed in the right direction. David tried it. Notice in Psalm 119 and verse 59, David says, I considered my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies. David considered his ways and said, you know what? I'm not heading in the right direction. I'm not going down the right path. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to figure out where you are, and I'm going to point my feet in that direction and start heading down that path. That wasn't necessarily where his mind was at that point. He just knew that I need to get my body, I need to get my mind, I need to get everything headed in your direction, Lord. And so I'm going to do that, and that will help my mind be where it needs to be. Some of the best examples in the New Testament can be found in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, Paul tells us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Then he says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things or think on these things. Prayer is going to help. Prayer is going to help us get headed in that right direction. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, he says, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus, and then think on these things that are good. Don't let your mind wander. And we can do a lot for ourselves if we keep our minds away from those things that will cause it to wander. Wander. Think about the shows that you watch. Think about the movies that you watch. Think about the music that you listen to. Is it heading your mind and your heart in the right direction? Now, there are certainly things that are what Dave Ramsey would call amoral. It's not right or wrong in and of itself. And so we realize there are songs that may not necessarily lead us toward God, but certainly we shouldn't be listening to ones that are going to lead us away. There are certainly TV programs that aren't going to necessarily lead our minds toward God, but certainly we shouldn't be watching the ones that are going to lead us in the wrong direction. He says the things that you are thinking about, that's where your actions are headed. And we need to be putting the things in that are going to produce good outcomes, good action in our outcomes. Is it hard? Of course, because the world, because of Satan, the world is dumping at us so many things that are wrong, that are bad. We have to filter through those things and keep our minds headed in the right direction. So if we're not where we want to be, we might need to change our mind, change our mindset. Why? Well, we said our minds determine who we are. Our mind, our thoughts are going to determine who we are, what our character is. And our thoughts are going to precede our actions. Now, there's always going to be a time when we can control, as long as we have time to sit and think, we can kind of control our action. Even though our thoughts may say one thing, have you ever said to yourself, you know what I should have said to that guy? You had time to think. But guess what? You're going to get into a moment where you don't have time to think, and you're going to say that to that guy or that girl or whatever. We need to head our thoughts in the right direction before those moments come so that we can be pleasing in the eyes of our God. We can begin that process today. And it is a process. It's not going to happen overnight. I know so many people become a Christian and they think they're going to be perfect. And then the first mistake they make, they think, ugh, I'm just, forget it. I can't do this. That's what I do with diets. Right, I start off 3 days doing great. Fourth day, you know, not very good. And I say, yeah, just forget it. I can't do it now. We can't do that spiritually. Right? We can't have that same mindset spiritually where we're just going to throw everything away because we made a mistake. We're going to make mistakes. It is a process, but we can begin that sometimes long, sometimes difficult process. We can start it today. If you're here and you're not a child of God, we can baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ by his own request. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. By Jesus' own request, we can baptize you into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins today. That will set you on a path. That will be like David, where David says, you know what, I considered my ways and I pointed my feet toward you. That'll help you do that this morning. We'd be glad to do that for you this morning. If you're here and you are a child of God who has slipped, who has fallen back into the world, maybe not doing the things that you should, you know you should be doing, maybe your mind is not right in the sight of God, we have time and opportunity to, as David did, point our feet back in the direction of God. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, won't you please come have a front seat while we stand and while we sing.